gone one up top.
I gone one up top. All the other formations, they surely have to stop.
I gone one up top.
I gone one up top. Jamie and Jordan, the bullshit never stops.
You're listening to the One Up Top podcast, hosted by Jamie and Jordan. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast and all of our social media outlets at One Up Top Podcast.
And a very big welcome to this week's episode of One Up Top. We knocked out Rovers, we got the easy draw. Is it a bit too early to be getting carried away with ourselves, Jordan?
We've been getting carried away since 2012, Jay, so I don't think today's too early. So here we are, folks, episode 16. Welcome by Bowes, two Bowes stars and former Celtics there, Bournesy and Macca. How are you getting on, lads?
Good, lads. Thanks for having us.
Oh, good, lads. Thanks for having us.
Yeah. One and only Paul Bourne and Paul McNally. We want to thank our guest from last week, which is Mark Roster, who came on and gave us a great account of his career. A lot of people didn't know that he had cancer before he came to Bowes, and it was a fairly, very good tale that he was able to tell us. We've got the two lads in with us this week, and we'll start, as always, with a bit of a league roundup. Back to domestic after a couple of weeks in Europe. Bowes are fifth in the table. Derry City are ahead of us by 3 points, but we have three games in hand nonetheless. Rovers continuing their bad form. They usually take a dip sometimes. They lost to Finn Harps 2-1. Draw to United and was nil all with Sligo. Sligo Rovers finally stopping the rot after quite some time, Jordan. And lads, you've probably seen Sligo lost 7 games in the bounce there, and Liam Buckley probably under a bit of pressure, so getting a draw was kind of a big result there, wasn't it?
Yeah, getting a draw was probably, he needed to get that sort of, he probably needs a win now at this stage to get things back going. They're out of the cup, they're going to have to rely on qualifying in the top three for Europe. Pats look like they're going to hold the challenge at Rovers. Rovers in a bit of a fucking dip. I think the fraud, the owner's being fucking found out for what he was. There was a high king of Tala 3 weeks ago, and now he's down in the dogs. So long may that continue.
Absolutely, yeah. Lads, what do you think? Pats on top of the league, Rovers, 50 points each. Did you expect that at the start of the season for Pats to get in there?
Yeah, listen, I've always fancied Pats at the start of every season because the sort of players they used to bring in.
They have a big budget, like.
Yeah, budget, but I think you have a great system in place now, and you have the right manager. You know, he's been around the leagues, he's played, he's won trophies. Took him a little bit of time to get a kickstart, but I think this season he's really showed what he's all about. He's got great respect in the game. He's attracted a lot of good players.
Absolutely, yeah, you're dead right. He's getting the best out of the likes of Chris Forrester once again. Just before we start on the FAI Cup quarters, I want to thank our sponsors. We've got Grand Cru Beers here, who gave us a couple of cases of Babchick.
Cheers,
Bob
boys. Cheers, boys. Much, lads. And I've just drank 9 of them before you even started the show.
Only 9.
Didn't pay for me either.
Never did.
We've got Vault Fashions as well, and New Age Barbers. Jordan, make the joke about me here. Go on.
No, because I looked at it, there's a bit of a patch going on in the back of my head, so I'll stay shut at the moment. Hello,
spots of hair. Two lads here with full heads of hair. Looks like one of you has gone to Turkey, but I'm not going to say who.
No. All natural.
One has gone and one needs to go.
The FAI Cup quarterfinals, as we said, we got the easy draw. We're playing against Maynooth Town University. St. Pat's got Wexford, so I'd say the two of us are in the semi-final, but let's not speak too soon. St. Francis knocked us out some time ago, and I think you played for St. Francis yourself, Macca, didn't you?
I did. I had 5 years at St. Francis with the old great Pete Mann, great times there. They gave me a great grounding in the game, so I always look back fondly with good memories there.
Yeah. Finn Harps and Dundalk, would you call that game? Up in Ballybuffet.
Never right off Dundalk, but Harps are fucking flying at the moment, so...
Exactly.
That's 50-50. The light we've come out on top of it, Maynooth, because there was a stage of the draw. There was Bowes, Harps, Dundalk, and Maynooth, and Finn Harps got pulled out. And our worst nightmare is that fucking kip up in Donegal.
Yeah, Dundalk need it more, don't they?
I think Dundalk need it more.
It's a hard place to go. When you look at the draws and you think to yourself as a player, you're thinking, dirty rainy night on a Tuesday night or a Wednesday night up in the back arse of Donegal.
Any bleeding night.
You're trying to get yourself motivated as a player. As a player's point of view, you're trying to get yourself motivated. And if you don't get yourself motivated in the right manner and treat them with a little bit of respect, they'll turn you over.
Yeah, and UCD and Waterford was due to draw as well, and we got the absolute pinger out of it all, so we look forward to that game now in 2 weeks' time. As always, we'll start with our last game, lads.
Oh, yes.
Satisfaction really was. It was box office from start to finish. We're just watching the goals back there. Ali Coote, he's got some right foot on him. It's just outstanding what that man can do from a set piece, and he scored some of our best goals this season, Jordan, and I think he's been the best signing this year.
I called at the start of the season when people were saying no way.
Also called Georgie Kelly being shite, so I'd just like to remind the listeners.
If you get him right, you get him wrong, don't we, Millboy? I was cursing his name when he got fucking sent off because he thought about bollocks.
Can I tell you about Ali Coote? How Ali Coote came about was he was playing in Scotland for Dundee or Dundee United. It was one of them anyway.
Yeah, it was Dundee.
And Jackie McNamara was his manager. And Jackie said to me, he's always got something in the locker. He's a little bit special. But he didn't get the best out of him over there. He didn't really mature into the player that they thought he was going to over there. So we came over here. Played in Waterford with my son Curtis.
Yeah.
I watched him most games. And he was the fired out.
I watched him really. He was fucking
brilliant. He was the fired out standout player. And for Bowes to get him. And
look, him and Tyreek Wilson were the two best players probably there last season.
And they scored against us in Daily Mount. I remember everyone saying, if we don't sign those two players, because we know what happens to Waterford every time the season ends, they just kind of go, it looks like they're going bust, but they eventually get a squad together. They were the two players we wanted, and we got them. And we're getting the best out of them both, really, truth be told. The atmosphere with the, what did we get, 800?
And you're saying you're getting the best players, right? Why isn't Tyreek Wilson playing? How do you go from Man City, you know, and then come home to the League of Ireland? Is it that he disrespected the league a little bit and he hasn't actually expressed himself in the way he should have? Because he was outstanding at Waterford. You think you're going to go to Bowes and you're thinking after Bowes, right, if we have a good season at Bowes, I've got a chance of going back away to England.
I think what it is at the moment with Long is, and because he's got two very good options there, left back, I think one bad game and you're out of the team.
Yeah.
I think
but that's not good for the player, because what happens then is he's thinking one bad game, he loses his confidence. All of a sudden, it's not one game, it's three games, four games, five games, and then you fall out with the manager and you want away.
But that happened with Breslin. The start, Breslin was in, and then he had one bad game. Tariq came in, took it by the hand. Tariq had one game, Breslin's back in, so
he's like that.
Could be just playing the strength. That's the way Keith Long is, suppose, as a manager.
If Breslin was to get sent off and score an own goal, he'd be out of the team and Wilson would be in there until he makes a mistake. That just seems the way Keith Long has kind of operated for quite some time. But you are there, right? But you know what? It's a great problem to have, having two
options. So going back to the day when we played, like, about myself, Colin Hawkins, and Derek Holland, the big 6'5" Cork centre half, and it was like that.
Yeah.
If you had the jersey, it was up to you to hold on to it, as the saying goes, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
I think we ended up playing actually the same amount of games between the three of us the year we won the Premier. So swings and roundabouts, isn't it?
The other goal we scored, when we just looked at it there, and you said, what an absolute goal. Would you have loved to play alongside Andy Lyons, looking the way he played?
Absolutely. There? It seems to be a baller, like, you know what I mean?
He's in the 21s, like, yeah, as well. He's fantastic.
I loved the little 1-2, and then he had the nuts to go by your man the edge of the box, and what a cracking finish with his left peg, like, you know.
It's fantastic.
Keeper, no chance.
On his weak foot,
yeah, left peg, absolutely. Like I said, it was one of those goals that we actually, I used to dream of it myself, going, if I just turn inside there, and then, no, someone will fucking rob it on me.
You were never able for that, unfortunately.
Lyons came out after the game and actually said, I hope that went in, because he basically got crucified by Long. Well, not crucified, it was just, when that opportunity arises, don't fucking shoot, just do the simple thing.
But how do you tell a player, right, that's cut inside, he's played a 1-2, he's done a little nuts, and then he wants him to lay it off, does he? Put 18 yards out. The kid done right, he's just bent it into the bottom corner with his left foot.
Well, Paul, it's because you could do that, not everyone can.
Thanks for that.
he celebrated in style as well. He was driving around Fisburn in a convertible car with his missus.
Straight to the airport, yeah. Up in the 21s. I was off to the Ireland match, and I think Robert scored in the 80th minute, whatever it was. And I had a flight at 8:30, and this is about fucking coming up to whatever it was, near 6 o'clock. I was going, oh, bollocks, I'm not going to catch this flight to Portugal. Do I fucking leave, or what do I do? So I think I hold Andy Lyons doesn't drink, so I have my fucking diluted liquid now next time I fucking see him.
Fair play, yeah. Cracker.
Yeah, the atmosphere was amazing for 800 fans on the ground. I mean, there was so much noise. Great to see so many faces. And one face who was, I'd never seen someone so happy in my life walking down the tunnel, and that was Keith Long at the end. He was just holding the crest, smiling like a Cheshire cat. You know, I think there's a bit of belief now that, you know, if we knock out Rovers, surely we can deal with this year, you know?
Look, every derby, all the players are hyped through the roof. Managers are hyped through the roof.
Mm.
You score a goal in the 89th minute, 78th minute, whatever it is, to win a Dublin derby. Everybody's going to be, you can kiss what crest you want. It's down to the next game now.
Yeah.
And next game after that. And then if it is the final and you do go on to win it, it's great. But it wouldn't be holding me, Brett.
Well, as Bowles fans, we can't get too excited. Come on, you have a semi-final.
No, I'm not trying to boost your bubble.
Oh,
I'm
just saying, yeah,
you still got to go by Pats, you still got to go by Dundalk.
Yeah,
they're not going to be easy games.
No,
so,
you might have one hand in the cup.
It's a bit of it, yeah. Look, it's a fairly grounding opinion there to say, right, we've got one hand in the cup in our opinion, but as football fans, are you not allowed to get carried away sometimes?
Absolutely.
No. You know, this is what kind of football is, a carousel of misery and joy.
It is.
You know, you hop on, you hop off, and you take the good with the bad.
Yeah.
Sort of how we always get into things, and it's always, we go back to the start, particularly with how to get into Bowes, and it's so many fans, and we say, hey, you know, the dad brought you up, whatever, holding hands when you're a kid or whatever, but obviously you've got two players, it's a bit different. So I'll start with you, Bournesy. How did you manage to sign for the big club?
Well, what happened was, I actually came home from England, and I was actually trying me hard. I was just had enough of it, I had to pull on a few pounds and stuff like that.
What age were you then?
I signed in 2002, so I would have been around
28,
29.
98, wasn't that the first year you signed? You signed twice?
I signed twice. And what happened was, the first time, I was actually from Hattara because I was at the coming home from Southend. Well, I went to Glenavon and then came down. And I was actually played one game for Shells. And I was actually playing over in Harlan's Cross, where there used to be a football pitch in the middle of the dog track. And Roddy Collins was watching it. And Roddy was looking, saying, Jesus, that Paul Bourne, is it? He looks like he's after eating and bleeding three or four lads on the pitch there, like he's that big, you know? So Roddy called me over after the game and he says to me, Bones, he says, what's the story? He says, you want to get yourself right? He said, I'll give you a contract at Bowers. I went, right, fair enough. What do you want me to do? He said, I'll tell you what, start running with Stephen and Pascal up in the strawberry beds a certain time. We get you a proper diet plan. We get you going. So the club didn't want me. The board didn't want me. Don't want him. He's this, that, and the other. He'd bring too much trouble to the club or whatever. Bullshit they were talking anyway. So Roddy decided got me down to a certain weight. I mean, we're only talking about the story the other day. On my debut, Roddy started me down in Waterford. But what he did was, he got this person who makes the shorts bigger and jerseys bigger and stuff like that. So it was like he stretched.
Just got me to put them on for 5 minutes.
Don't need to do a few squats in it. So he opened up the shorts anyway and the jersey was hanging off me. So he went out and done really well in the game. And the board went, Jays, he's had to lose some weight, isn't he? Because Jays was hanging on me. Knicks were down, hanging on my ass. Had to lose some weight, isn't he? Fair play. We'll give him a contract. So that's how it started for me. I actually went to Bowes down, yeah.
And Maka, how did you manage to get into the big club?
I had a couple of good years with Longford leading up to it. And obviously Stephen Kenny left Longford and went to Bowes. But actually just before that, P-Man had got the job off after Roddy got let go, didn't he? So Pete had rang me and obviously had a couple of years with Pete at St. Francis. And Pete rang me and asked me would I be interested. And I said, Jesus, of course, I'd love to. So he says, give us your manager's number. I gave him Stephen Kenny's number. He rang me back a couple of hours later. He said, it's not happening. He says, I'm not offering one or two players on loan. I've offered him a few quid and I've offered him a bag of gear. You know, the usual type of crack. He says, he's not letting you go.
Gear you wear, is it?
Sorry, gear you wear.
He's come in wearing a black Ford tracksuit, so you never know.
You're talking about the gear now? Yeah.
So, that was dead in the water then. Mm. And then, obviously, Stephen got the job. I think it was about halfway through the season, was it? And did a job there with Bowes. And I think they got to the cup final that year. Anyway, I met the kit man, actually. He's actually the Ireland kit man now with Stephen, Fergus McNally.
Yeah.
And
just, no relation, though?
No, absolutely no relation. Oh, good lad, top lad, Fergie. So, I met him out one day. And he was going, you wouldn't be interested in going full-time because... Well, a good job, good earner at what he was doing with the window fitting.
He was Jack Charlton's kit man, wasn't he?
No.
Was he not?
Charlie O'Reilly was Jack
Charlton's. Charlie O'Reilly, yeah. I know, Fergie's only same age as Kenny or so. Yeah. They're childhood mates and that, you know. So Kenny has always done well by him. He had him kit man at Longford, kit man at Bowes, now he's kit man at Ireland, you know. He just says to me, you wouldn't be interested in going full time because you have a good job and stay at Longford, you're doing well. And I was like, no, we'd have a conversation about it. So obviously the Bowes thing and that. I actually used to go down and watch Bowes because... Since Roddy took over and that Roddy factor where they were gone professional and that intrigued me because I was only semi-pro, obviously, with Longford and that. So I used to get out and watch them and I thought, I'd love to be part of that team. You know, they were playing in Europe year in, year out at the time and I thought, I'd love a bit of that. So we met Stephen, liked what he had to say, signed a 3-year deal.
You signed for the big club.
Signed for the big club, but interestingly enough... Rovers came in for you as well at the same time, Damien Richardson. So, and I actually went, our goalkeeper actually was a mate of Damien Richardson. He was away in Gillingham with him, Stephen O'Brien, Digger O'Brien. Yeah. So he says, I think Rico wants to talk to you.
Just like to say, Stephen O'Brien, you little prick. I might not speak for the two lads here, but he's a little wanker.
But yeah, well, he was doing that. He's playing intermediary there, like, you know what I mean? So he was like, I think Rico wants to talk to you. So I met Rico up in the Damien Richardson up in the plaza and it was like an interview for about, it was like I was going for a job or something like that. It was a 2-hour thing where I didn't get a word in at the start, all this.
So it'd be like sitting with Paul Bourne.
Yeah, or Roddy, you know what I mean? So,
oh, you wouldn't have fucking signed him.
No, but the only club I was going to sign for, the only club to play for at the time was Bowes. Like I said, the European thing, the style of football they were playing, the players they had, the likes of Hunty, Crowley. And
we were flying.
It was flying.
We were flying.
It was the only club. It was the best club in the country.
We had a team there, like... I think every player that was in that squad at the time, that if we were always confident that if someone got two, we got three. If someone got four, we got five. And the players that we had, Glenn Crowe, Billy Boy Malloy, you had Fergal Harkin, Steve McCaffrey, Kevin Hunt, like Morrow.
I was only going to say, I started following Bowles 2002 and probably around 2003, I started to really take a lot more interest in it. But you played alongside some serious players in the back, like Colin Hawkins, Damien Lynch,
yeah.
Simon Webb, probably as regarded as probably one of the best left backs.
Rocky Dennis. Absolutely. Share something on that film, remember?
You go through the whole lot, like give Hunty, Stephen McCaffrey, they were the best foil.
Sparky, Bobby Ryan,
excellent team. Dave Morrison.
Morrow.
The only thing is, we didn't let him take the throw-ins.
I've seen him take throw-ins before.
Come here.
No, I didn't.
I have.
I'm not lying at the club, Rory. And next of all, we're going golfing this weekend. And you're paired with Morrow, and I thought they were fucking winding me up. Like, you know what I mean? Excuse me, language. But obviously Morrow with the one hand. But Jesus, I think he was the best golfer at the club, being honest with you, yeah.
Well, when you were still playing at Bowes, were you still fitting windows?
No, it was full time at Bowes, yeah.
Because anyone who knows me knows I sell PVC windows, and as I call it, white fucking gold. But when we started this podcast, we had a fella came into us with long hair, tattoos, and a missing finger. His name is Venezuela Bowes, and he said he used to work with you.
Lewis. Absolute gentleman, lovely
he's,
fella.
He's an absolute, you know what, he's a hero.
Surprised he was so normal when he actually came in. You only see him half naked with a fucking scarf around his neck.
A terribly nice man.
Basically, the story was, I'm a van courier now at the moment for the last 15 years, and I got back to my warehouse to unload every day, and Lewis was working in the warehouse. And he's one of those characters, right? He's like something out of a Colombian gangster film or something like that, you know what I mean? So
something out of Cartel, he is.
Yeah, you'd be intrigued by him immediately, you know what I mean? So he's just smiling, he's all smiles, and he's how are you? How are you and all that? And then next of all, he started talking about football one day, and he was at the Bowes game, and I was like, well, next of all, he heard that I had played for Bowes, and I liked his passion for the club, and I liked the fact he was going to all the games and that, so I've a suitcase at home with a couple of jerseys, and I thought, do you know what, if anyone deserves an old jersey, it's Lewis. So I gave him one of my old jerseys.
It's brilliant. You were just talking about Bowes, they were in Europe. You would have been starting that Bate game, I believe, but you got injured before it. So you would have missed Bate Borisov. We beat them, I think it was 3-1 in Agra.
Yeah.
And obviously we got dumped out by Rosenborg.
We actually lost over there.
We lost 1-0 and 1-3 at home. So you actually missed out on those European games for Bowes through injuries, and by the sounds of things talking to you, you had a pretty bit of a bad old time with your injuries.
Yeah, we were talking about it earlier. It was just diagnosed at first as just a normal groin strain, but it turns out it was anything but it. You know what I mean? And it was like after about 2 or 3 normal cortisone injections, it was finally diagnosed as a pubic bone problem. So I was literally taking like anti-inflammatories to do the warm up and training. You know what I mean? And like that's not right for a start. You know that type of way. But I felt a little bit hard done by, obviously, as you say, we've won the Premier my first year there. We've qualified for Europe. These are the games you want to be playing in.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And you're missing out, boy. I think I only broke down during the week before that game after battling to get fit for it after, I think, one of those jabs. You know what I mean? So I told Steve, and I said, listen, I said, even if I'm not playing, I said, I want to travel over. I want to be part of it. And in fairness,
get a free holiday over.
Yeah. And everything else that comes.
A free holiday to Belarus, you can fuck right
off. There's nothing glamorous about that.
We'd rather stay at home than that. just on Stephen Kenny as well, your relationship with him, you said you played under him for 7 years.
Do you have his number? Will you come on here?
Yeah, Jesus Christ, yeah.
Pinging
on to us,
100%.
So what are we going to do? Stephen Kenny then, Rod. So Stephen Kenny, you played him for 7 years. You know, you had a big influence on your career, I presume.
Absolutely.
As well, how you play. You, we're watching Ireland the past few weeks, and look, we'd all be, myself personally, I'd be very much in Stephen Kenny's camp. But what's your feeling now, having watched him? He's really under the pressure now. And you know what? He had such a good time at Dundalk. You know, every team he's managed over here, he always kind of had it relatively good. Now he's really under pressure, and he came out swinging today. James McLean came out swinging as well today. And
why is he coming out swinging? Why is James McLean coming out swinging? Tell me.
Well,
no, tell me.
I'm just a simple man who runs a podcast, Paul. You should tell me.
No, tell me. Tell me why that someone like him is coming out to say all sorts of bullshit, that can't cross a road during a match, gets up, punches the ground, the Irish fans go, yay! Because he's covered what? He's passion. Look, this is not about passion anymore. This is about fucking playing for your country and having some sort of fucking skill about you to cross a fucking ball into the box.
I think Gareth Stevens is first choice. McLean's just throwing him fucking to try to do a job at the moment.
Yeah.
But he's having a dig, basically. I don't know if it's a dig at the media.
It was a dig at the media.
Or was it a dig at former players like the likes of Richard Dunne, who wanted Kenny out from the start because he
But why are you having a dig at the media? He hasn't won a game in 15 games.
Mm.
Oh yeah, he's been granted time by the media. I think circumstances, the situation we're in, it's not grim, and look, the results do fucking speak, but he's going to have to get something soon. I'd give him another campaign when you look what he's had to read through.
To be honest with you, right, and I take a battering of it myself, because obviously my connection with Stephen, and I've been championing him from day one, and I thought he was the man for the job after doing so well with the 21s. My own personal thought on it, I thought he could have stayed a bit longer at the 21s and brought them through another year.
He was rushed through straight away.
See, the problem was
the FEI. Sorry, Mac, go on.
Now, in fairness to Stephen, he actually marched in and demanded the job on the day he was due the job.
Yeah.
So that's why Mick McCarthy ended up going. Okay. So the thing about it is, and I always say this to the people who are battering my phone when we're not doing well, obviously, and they're going, oh, look at your mate this and your mate that. The way I put it is, Pep Guardiola or Jurgen Klopp is not going to do anything with that squad of players. And that's the bottom line of it.
100%.
He's trying to do something. He's trying to manipulate something with it. It's working sometimes. It's not working other times. But the be all and end all is, look at the standard of football that them lads are actually playing that are representing our country. And it's abysmal.
Why are we trying to play football with players that can't play the system that he wants to play? Why are we trying to play out in the back? Duffy trying to play out in the back. Doesn't work. It just doesn't work.
There's just two men on the side.
Duffy is using excuses, and God rest me, like, if it's going to come to us all, he lost his father and used that as an excuse for how bad he was playing over in Scotland. He thought he could go to Scotland and just walk through the Scottish leagues over there and not a bother. He was found out.
Well, getting back to Kenniers, the Portugal game, we set out our stall well.
Yeah.
We nearly did the business, you know what I mean? He could have been... had a statue on Grafton Street over that result alone. Yeah. You know what I mean?
That result would have guaranteed a contract, I think.
There you go.
Would have saved his face.
And what did I say to you, Budge, then? I says, we're the type of team that we could go out on Saturday and draw nil all with Azerbaijan. Those were my words. And two of us were actually at the game, and we were looking at it. Well, first 20, 25 minutes, we were playing the football that Stephen wants to, because he likes to play expansive football and that. But, like, at the end of the day, we're playing Azerbaijan, lads. It's a results business. And as much as I love Kenyans and all that,
we did dominate them, to be fair. I think our goalkeeper had a particularly great game. Yeah, he was absolutely fearless.
We missed one or two headers.
Grudges against Stephen. Some of the ex-pros would have played with Robbie Keane.
That's what they're
trying to force something. Stephen Kenny went there and put his stamp on things straight away. Stephen Kenny doesn't like people who are going to be a threat to him. That's it. He got rid of him. He stood his ground. Out the door.
As for Robbie Keane, though, Robbie Keane is still being paid by the FEI.
And he's playing Bleeding Mickey Mouse charity match over
playing,
and fucking
playing soccer aid
getting
the
5 grand a week.
So, you know.
But even that, I think what people, it's evident now at the moment, you know, Kenny bringing in too many 21s. There's no fucking players in between the age of 22 and 27 in that team. There's actually a missed generation of Irish footballers, wherever the fuck they are. You've got the under 21s, the likes of Aaron Connie. Then after that, it's James McLean, fucking Duffy, who are on the late 40s.
Look, we could talk about this all night, but we'll leave those to the versions that are off the ball. I wanted to ask you about just after Bowes, you know, you had your injuries, but you went back playing for Moctis, and you played with Glenn Crowe. We had Mark Roster sitting here last week, who had nothing but amazing things to say about Glenn Crowe as a footballer, as a fella. He said he's very, very quiet, but on the pitch he'd be roaring and shouting at defenders coming up behind them, saying you're gonna miss it, blah blah blah.
Old habits die hard, but Crowe, actually Crowe's still doing a bit of work in with myself. I see Crowe most mornings, the best centre forward I ever played with.
Yeah.
Like I said, it was a good few years after I finished that ball. I didn't kick a ball for 3 years, I think, after that. And I end up signing for the Guards, believe it or not, because a mate of mine took them over.
Let's stop that podcast now.
Check as we get right, lads. You only saw it with them because you got pulled in the van or something.
I've actually used that a few times that I don't want to do, but
you know your man, the sergeant up in Leaslip there, you know him?
Oh, that's your man. Oh,
he's the physio off the force then.
So I ended up going to Moctis then, and I was there. Roddy Collins was actually doing a bit of coaching at the time with the now manager Brian McCarthy. And Roddy rang me one day. It was actually Brian rang and put Roddy on the phone. Oh, Louis Fathead and all this crack, we need you down here. And I was 36-ish, 37, you know. I hadn't played in a year before leading up to that or whatever. And he says, no, it's 1B, you'll do okay. After a couple of weeks, I realised if we need anything, we need a centre forward here. I knew Crowe was at Malahide at the time, in the top league in Leinster Senior. We were four below it. So it was his old club I knew when he was a kid. So I made the phone call to Crowe because we're still good pals to this day. And we got Crowe over. Like, so the rest is history. He's been there ever since. I think he finished top goal scorer every year there. Old habits die hard, as we say. He's still giving out to everyone, but he took on the culture and all now, and he loves it.
Brilliant. I guess he's still playing ball now for Black Forge.
I'm with Black Forge, yeah. No, I don't like the culture and the things. Yeah. I always say
McGregor's there shouting at them all day.
He actually hasn't been back since the broken leg thing, but yeah. Now I'm over to Black Forge. There's two good football men over there.
Are you still playing?
I'm playing over 35s.
Yeah. You're playing the over 35s. Yeah.
But there's two senior teams and there's an over 35s team. Yeah. But my brother-in-law's mate, Dean Costello and Robbie B, of course, two good football men. They were in my ear for a while. And I says, look, I'll go over and keep playing. It's good for the mind and it's good for the body. 46 years of age. He says, why not keep it going until the body tells you otherwise? So, yeah, no, it's a great set of lads over there.
Should be stuck for a game on Thursday. You know where we are.
Yeah, 7 o'clock. Always looking for players. One last thing was given to me by a friend of mine. Bodge Kennedy used to play for Begsborough Front. He said he absolutely skinned you alive. He just wanted me to say that to you. Now, you could be lying. You know what Bodge is like.
He is a bit of a Pinocchio. The less said about that, the better. But I wasn't marking him. I think he did get two for Begsborough. I wasn't actually marking him because he wouldn't have got a sniff now.
And so I'm going to move on to now you, Paul Bourne. You know, we've seen you a couple of times over the lockdown. You were having a few drinks in Dame Lane and running about. A lot of people wouldn't have thought that fucking man there scuttered at 4 o'clock in the day actually scored 2 goals in an Old Firm.
You don't know me, you'll get scuttered every day. So I'm just glad you just said fucking Monday.
You scuttered when he scored.
It's like everything else. Come here, look, when I started off, you know, I was playing with the likes of Davey Langan and Steve Foster and all these people over in Oxford. I was only 16 and 17 years of age, missed home terribly, left home at 13. And back then, it was a sort of drinking culture, you know what I mean? So
Would they have been drinking after games and buses?
Listen, we'd be down the back of the bus with a few cans, of course.
This was said, obviously.
We'd be going to play, no, this would be at Oxford, but when I was learning to be trade at Oxford, 13 to 19 I played there. I made over maybe 40 or 50 appearances. Maybe Debbie when I was 16 against Barnsley, went on to play numerous games with top players, Ray Houghton, John Aldridge, people like that. But they'd be down the back of the bus, and slowly but surely you get dragged into that type of thing. So we used to play a Stamford Bridge, to be ducks behind the goal. The kit man be coming on the bus, what do you want in the chip? Are we pulling beside the local chip or beside the nearest, where we're playing at the ground, stating kidney pies, fish and chips. After the game, we come out, hand two boxes down the back, your name be on the big white wrapper. And that's the way it was. And, you know, I continued to do that. No matter where I was, I always drank. I got to a certain sort of standard and where I thought, well, I've made it here. Turned to have a few points, get in with a few of the more senior players, and you know, it didn't work out for me at the time. It was that type of culture, you know. But I've always had that reputation of having a drink, but sometimes people need to mind their own business while Paul Bones is off the field and concentrating their own lives.
Yeah, and I suppose what was the culture like itself? And obviously Glasgow, a bit of a rougher town back in the day anyway than it is now, but
yeah, I didn't really socialise in Glasgow because you know yourself, Glasgow's a golfish bowl, you know, so everybody wants you. You go down one street and they're all hugging and kissing. You go another street and they want to be in Kinney, you know what I mean? So I moved out to the back roads of East Kilbride up the back of Hamilton there, you know. So, I went to bookies every day and had me a few points and, you know, that's just the way it was. I never changed, as I said. I broke into the set.
I won't have leading Rangers 1-9 in a row.
And you know what? You'd see, I probably played for Celtic under the hardest times ever. The club.
Oh, definitely. That was
ever. It was the slowest point ever.
Who was on that Celtic team that you played with?
You had Charlie Nicholas, Frank McAvenny, Gary Gillespie, Peter Grant, Paul McStay, John Collins, Tom Boyd. We had an exceptional side. But then you're playing against Trevor Stevens, Gary Stevens, Ali McCoys, Brian Laudrup, Mark Haley. Rangers had an outrageous, and an outrageous budget because we weren't paying that fucking taxes. But the thing is, like, that's the sort of thing. And what happens is, if you're not winning games at Celtic, and you get scrutinised. Every touch of the ball, every mistake you make, they watch it, and you're a fat cunt, or you're a numpty, or this, or you're that. Rangers were doing 9 in a row. It was hard enough being under pressure just to play for Glasgow Celtic without trying to stop Rangers doing 9 in a row. So everything I did in Glasgow was scrutinised.
Yeah.
And I just thought, I went over there, I played over 60 games or whatever it was, I scored twice against Rangers. And I always say this, if I didn't score those two goals against Rangers, Paul Bourne would be fucking a nobody. Nobody'd want to know. Mm-hmm. It's because them two goals went in, Celtic fans.
One was an Ibrox, was it?
Yeah, do you know
what was the national stadium there?
It was like everything else. Like, there's two things that stuck in my mind. My dad always says, hit a first time, the goalkeeper won't expect it. And I always remember the
interim, it's the volley, wasn't it?
Interim coach then, Frank Connor, he was a goalkeeper. He was a hardy bastard. He used to always say to me, see you fucking Irish, that and the other. If you don't get to that back post.
You can
post,
say whatever you want with this podcast.
If you don't get to that back post, it'll break your fucking jaw. So two things caught my mind. Ball broke, ran down, got to the edge of the box. Remember my father saying to me, here the first time, keeper won't expect it. And I remember Frank Connor, I didn't fancy a broken fucking jaw, so I got to the back post and hit it and went to the bottom corner, yeah. But the game before, my very first game, at Ibrox, was it'd be 1-2-1, we scored in the 89th minute. But I did something similar, volley. If you watch it, John Collins, exact same position, crossed it over, I volleyed it, and I missed by about 3 or 4 feet, a bit higher to the right. So these were things that I practice in training. You know, as you see me say, Curtis Bourne as well, like he's my son, doesn't score easy goals.
He scores one of the best buddies I've seen against Dundalk a few years ago.
You know, that was absolutely
outrageous. I was doing things like that, you know, when I was 16 and 17 in Oxford's training ground, or even Celtic's training ground. Lou McCarty was giving me a new contract and he caught me in. He went, you know, you're one of the best players of the club that we have now. I was after getting into Jack Shatton's squad, Lansdowne Road, 94 squad against Russia. And he caught me in for a new contract. But Adrian, the wife at the time, was just, she knew exactly budget-wise how we were going to live and all that sort of stuff. I left it to her. So he called us in and he got us there. So down there, he said, we're going to give you a new contract, 3-year contract. We're going to double your money from 1,500 to 3 grand, and then your last one will be 8 grand. And he said, but you got to do me one favour. He says, you're one of the best trainers, he says, I've ever seen, he said. He said, you must go home and eat the fucking couch. So I was the only fucker that go home 12 stone 10 and come back in 13-5. So that was the story of my football career, that, you know, that's just the way it was. That was the culture then.
Yeah, you signed for Bowes and you actually, Bowes in the relegation scrap at the time. You wore a t-shirt that said relegation 4-5. It was the bookies at the time. What the fuck was the idea behind that?
Don't remember that.
Do you not know?
Definitely don't remember that. I never wore a t-shirt in the jersey.
Someone told us that. They said
bullshit.
Cut that one out.
No, tell them it was bullshit. I said it was bullshit. Play it. It's bullshit. 4-6. I wasn't back fucking us at 4-6.
And a couple of moments here before you move on to your few stories. Roddy brought you on to take a free kick against Galway.
Yeah, and I still had a lump of bleeding plaster or something stuck to my arse after getting off the bench. Yeah, we could come on and score a free kick. First kick of the ball back after getting me back from Pats. Probably in the best shape of my life then, because I actually, Roddy fucked me out the season before. Didn't even look at me at the end of the season. That was a kick in the bollocks, if you know, and I think he knows that himself, the way he treated me towards the end of that season. I went over to play in America, Philadelphia Union, in the MLS. Got fit over there and came home. I signed for Pats. Pat Dolan signed me. And then Roddy used to come to most of the games. And he asked me one time. Pat Dolan was at the centre to me. Look, you know, Paulie, you know, we have to put you on a first course. And I'm like, a first course, Pat? What do you mean by that? He says, you know, full time. And he says, now we keep you full time. But the first will pay some of the wages. We'll pay the others. I said, Pat, really, that doesn't suit me, Pat. Mm. It doesn't suit me. So, in the back of my mind, I always knew Roddy wanted me back. So I picked, he said, Pat Dolan says, what you want to do? I says, I want to get out of here.
Yeah.
He says, what you mean? I said, I want to leave now. So I picked up the phone. Roddy, I'm free. Went back to Bowes that year, come on off the bench and scored that free kick. That was my first kick of the game.
You had a very good relationship with Roddy. Do you want to tell me about Roddy and his curtains?
Yeah, well, I read in Roddy's curtains, and my wife's curtains, but what happened was, remember the famous, I always got mixed up, that was the famous game out in Morton Stadium, but it wasn't. It was, I think he said to me the other day, a couple of weeks ago, when me and Marco were out with him, I was up in Ballybuffet or somewhere like that, and he goes, we come in at halftime anyway, I took you 1-0 down, it's fucking lashing around, horrible evening. He comes in, and he's gone around everybody, and I knew, once he took the crombie off, he fucked it up, and I landed on the hangar, I knew everyone was going to get it, so I'm head down, my head's down in the corner like that, I'm thinking, he's gone around everybody, and you. Avery John, he goes, oh, Gaffer, he says, what, you're like fucking Bambi, you know, he says, what boots have you got on? He said, I've got moldies, I'm going to change them into my studs now. And he goes, no, change them into your shoes and fuck off, you're not going back on. So I knew then, so he was coming back around to me, and he got to me anyway, and he goes, see you, I goes, Roddy, before you start, I mean, he says, you know, you hear what they're all shouting out there, and he goes, what, they're shouting, Polly Bourne's wife takes it up the arse. And he stood back and he goes, do you know what you fucking do? He says, close your fucking curtains. And we went down and won the game 2-1 anyway.
And he apparently said something at half time against Rovers once, something fairly powerful.
I don't really remember that. If you remind me of part of the story, I'd probably be able to tell you. But the other one was, we were travelling down to, I think it was a Hove. The year that we were fighting a relegation battle that you just spoke about.
Yeah.
And we were meeting at the Bell, where he used to always get us to meet. And it was 8 o'clock in the morning. So he says, oh, we'll stop off on the way down a little bit before, then we get a small bite to eat, then we get to the hotel and we'll have beans and toast or whatever. And I was like, yeah, all right, yeah. So he goes into the garage ahead of him and I'm over at the deli, you know what I mean? And the man's doing all the fucking grubbing and like that. Fucking a roll about that size and that width. It's like one of the old fucking piano rolls.
That's the whole buffet.
Yeah, 4 foot long. You only get a foot long now in other shops. But I said, yeah, man, give us 2 rashers, 2 sausages, 2 bits of pudding, 2 eggs. Put a bit of red sauce now, will you, mate? And he looks over my shoulder and goes, who's that for? And he goes, it's mine. He says, there isn't, it's bollocks. He says, you've got a game. I says, ready, the game is fucking 8 o'clock tonight. It's 8 o'clock in the bleeding morning. Get out of the shop, he says, get out of the fucking shop. I said, do you know what, you can pay the fuck off. So I walked out of the shop anyway. So I see him getting on the bus, he gives it to the bleeding bus driver. We're just putting up outside Bally Buffet and the bus driver's taking his last bite out of the fucking roll. He's looking at about 4 hours on the roll. But anyway, we survived that year, and the following year we went on to, as you know, we won the famous double that time. So listen, I always said it, and Roddy doesn't mind me saying this, Roddy wouldn't be the best manager in the world, but he'd make you feel 10 foot tall, or he'd give you a dig in the head.
It was the aura about him that people fucking bought
into. You know, that's what it is. That's what he's all about. And League of Ireland needs someone like him now. They need someone.
There's nobody box office manager.
There's no characters.
There's no box office manager.
They're fucking dinosaurs. These people are dinosaurs that give them the jobs. What is the point in young players finishing their careers, going doing all that fucking badges, and get shoved aside and not get the jobs? That's just my opinion. That's probably why I never got a fucking job. No, because I would have coaching skills. I'd also have the motivation to a player that Roddy would give you.
Yeah.
You get a reputation of 25, 26 as a player, and you still think you're the same person at 50. You know what I mean? So that's just the way things are. You know, the do-gooders don't really get them. If you're a bad boy, you don't get them. So you've got to be in between that. You know, that's why I'd never really support a League of Ireland, because they keep fucking giving dinosaurs the jobs.
Yeah.
Any other dressing room stories you have? Any fun ones?
I think I might have one there.
We went to, this is Liam O'Brien will be happy with this, because he was the coach of Stephen Kenny. But
hungriest man you'll ever meet.
We actually went training. When we won the Premier, then we qualified obviously for the Champions League, and we were brought away to Cyprus for a warm weather training camp, as they put it. Be the week training over in Cyprus in Limassol, we were saying. And so we were training at 7 in the morning and 7 in the evening to avoid the heat, obviously, because I think it's the start of June or that. So 4 or 5 days, we're there for a week, 4 or 5 days into it, there was no whisper at all about socialising or a day out for us or anything. And next while Stephen Kenny calls us in and goes, listen, lads, he says, you're going out tonight, we're putting on a bus. He says, but no one's going outside of Limassol. We're staying in Limassol. No one's going outside of Limassol. So on the plane all the way over, one or two of the boys, like Crowey, Gary O'Neill, and I had been in Oyanapi, and they were raving about the place. So they were all going to Oyanapi. So Stephen Kenny's actually talk was, there's nobody going to Oyanapi. We're staying in Limassol. Bus is organised. I don't want to see us till 7 o'clock tomorrow for the dinner. He says, so you can lie in and all tomorrow, have a few beers, but we stay together. We're an hour or two into the night in Limassol, and we all's going good. And Paul Keegan comes in, not the Paul Keegan that I played with, Pat Fenlon, the Stephen Kenny Paul Keegan, who Crowey actually says was his best partner ever, actually. Yeah. So Keegan comes in and goes, lads, I've organised a taxi. He says, your man says he'll have us in Oyanapi within the hour. So we're like, it's about 12:30 at this stage, half 12. So myself, now Liam O'Brien will love this because he still doesn't know how the Oyanapi for air. So myself, Robbie Doyle, Glenn Crow, and Paul Keegan got in the Merc, it was like a Merc taxi, and your man literally put the boot down. But he said we could bring a few bottles of beer. We were having a crack all the way there. Mm. And we got there 1 in the morning, and as you'd imagine, we were there till about 9, 10 the next day. We met a couple of girls, as you do. Keiga was single. Keiga was the only single one out of a lot of us.
Wink, wink, nudge,
wink, wink, nudge, nudge. So 2 Scottish girls, I think it was one of the first nightclubs we went into in Oyanapi, and 2 Scottish girls, and myself and Doyle were at the bar. And we were like, oh yeah, there's 2 more lads over here, introduced. Keiga was like a pig in shite. And the next day, when we got to the 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock stage the next morning and that, Keiga was going, right, I've arranged to meet the girls at the bungee jump and all this crack. And like, we're thinking, oh, there's no chance. Now you're in love, Keiga, you go ahead. So he went and met him. And to this day, he's living in Glasgow with 4 kids with that lady.
Wow,
that's a good story. Yeah.
I was going to say, Paul, the last time we seen you as Jordan Lewitt, we were being batting down Dame Lane by the POU. It was myself, Jordan O'Reilly, Aaron Shaw, Evan Kane, and Bastian Harry. the lesser saying Bastian Harry. But we haven't probably heard a whole lot about your son the last while. How's Curtis doing? Because he was a fantastic player up all the year he was there. And I know he's with Waterford, but I think is he at loan?
He's captain at loan now, yeah. Yeah, Curtis is happy in himself, you know. Mm. At the end of the day, I think it was very unfair for people to sort of judge Curtis on how he played the game. And
You had a big reputation. I remember his first game for Bowes. You were in the crowd. You were back in the crowd with us. And we were all saying, we're all singing Paul Bourne from the halfway line as Curtis was playing.
Yeah,
you know? I think you walked up three or four times just to hear it again.
Wouldn't be like him.
I'm going to give you one now. I was walking up after I'd left Bowers and a whole lot to come back. And I was there watching the game and I was walking up the stairs and I heard, "Hey, Bungie!" And I was like, "Who the fuck is that? Nice to see you had your baby."
I'd obviously put a bit...
Lost a minute too, but after having a minute too, man. See, you had your baby. Fuck off.
Did you reckon Curtis, you know, I always thought he was a very good player. I thought he played in a Bowes team that could have been a lot better. Do you think he's better level than Division 1? Do you think there's more in Curtis? Do you reckon it's not the last we've probably seen him in the Premier Division?
Well, I think a lot of people would say I'm being biased towards Curtis, but he's got all those... trophies that he done at Dundalk and played under Stephen Kenny, and he done really well at Dundalk, a couple of league titles, I think an FAI Cup medal and a couple of League Cup medals or something like that, whatever it was, and he done really well. I think he finished top goal scorer. Then he went to Pats and he finished top goal scorer. He was at Bowes, he finished top goal scorer. He went to TNS and he finished top goal scorer.
We don't like the words TNS, you know, in the show.
Yeah. We've been taking that.
Hell, we told you, don't say TNS, you have to say
it. That's just the way, that was the clubs he went to. We played with a lot of top clubs. He scored goals in Scotland. He scored goals everywhere he's gone. And some of the goals, to be fair, like, have been outrageous. Even the one last week down that loan, outside of the right boot. He got beaten 3-1 by Cork. And then the week before that, he's just checked inside 25 yards out and he's bent it into the top corner. So he scored goals everywhere he's gone. As I said, it's a bit unfair for him to judge him on how I played.
Yeah, of course, absolutely.
Yeah, so we're gonna move on to the two guests now. We're going to move on to the questions we always ask our footballers when they're in. You have to pick a five-a-side. You both take a place in each team. So how does that make up in anyone you've played with?
Well, I won't give anyone I've played with because people think I'm being flash. But at the end of the day, if I was asked to pick a Bowes five, obviously it'd be Macker, Crowe, Kevin Hunt, myself, and I'd probably go with Stephen McCaffrey. Because I couldn't run and they got plenty of legs. So that's why I'd pick those.
Mm. Who plays in golf?
In goal, I'd have the Passion Wagon. I think he's from Wexford. He played. Remember the Passion Wagon? Yeah. I won't tell you why we call him the Passion Wagon. Anyway,
I've seen this freaking look.
He's married. He's married. But in goal, I wouldn't put Packy in goal. He's a bollocks.
Fuck him.
No, I wouldn't.
Fucking cost as many World Cups.
I wouldn't put him in goal.
No,
but Did you play with Ashley Bayes?
You're at the Robin my keeper.
Did I? Yeah.
I'm going to give him a special mention, but go on.
Yeah, even, you know, there's a few people at Oxford who play with, like Alan George and people like that, you know. But they're the players that I would actually pick. You know, it's easy for me to come out and say, I'd pick Paul McStay, John Collins, Charlie Niggers, Frank McAvaney.
Don't mention them anyway. Like.
No, but you know what I mean? You can easily come out and say that, but I'd rather mention the players that I played at home. I was at my happiest when I was at Bowes.
Yeah. And who was managing it?
Pete Mann.
Oh, Roddy, you won't be happy.
Controversial. Pete Mann. I'll give you a story about Pete. I have to say, Pete, because I'll tell you what happened, right? Really, it is Roddy, but I'm saying Pete, right? And Pete won't mind me saying this. We played away, I think it was one of the European games away. We'd won 1-0 at home, we lost 2-0 away. And we come in at the end of the game and he's gone around to everybody. And he's gone, "You don't want to play with me, do you? You're a fucking Roddy man, ain't you?" And from that day on, I just thought, pull the pin out of me, just to think that I would play with one manager. That he took that from me, do you know what I'm saying? It's like, I try for everyone.
Yeah.
Every manager that I play, every team I play with.
You play for enough teams to fucking finish, you had to try to.
Now, we did bump into Pete and Roddy a few weeks
but
ago.
But they all wanted me services.
We did bump into Pete.
Look, come here, Pete.
And I brought it up.
Yeah.
Pete, I said, by the way, Pete, I says, "Did you call him a Roddy man?" And he goes, "There was fucking seven of them."
It's the reason he lasted 6 months, I suppose.
No, but you know what? What Marcus says, they'd have fonder memories of Pete than I would. You know, and I think he probably felt a little bit hard done by the way Bowes played under him or whatever it was.
A lot of people said that right manager wrong time, maybe.
Yeah, maybe it could have been that. I didn't have a lot of bad things to say about him. I didn't know that much about him, because when he was under Roddy, it was like, you know, Roddy had him doing bits and pieces. Roddy is Roddy. Roddy's no point of having a number two, because Roddy will do it his way no matter what. Mm-hmm. Roddy will have someone to go and collect the bibs and balls and do a little warm-up, and then he takes over the whole lot himself. And he knows that himself, because Roddy always felt that if he wasn't in control, he wasn't in charge.
Yeah.
And that's just the way Roddy is. But as I said, for to build someone 6 foot high or bring you down, Stanley Yannick.
And Maka, what about you? You'd pick a 5-a-side team there.
Yeah, I'd have, do you remember a guy, as you just mentioned, Mashley Bayes.
And I have to say, my first ever Bowes game was that game in Tolka.
And what a save.
Unbelievable.
I think for that save alone, yeah. I was very close to Bayes, though, actually. He moved over from, I think we signed him from Leighton Orient.
He was English. Yeah,
as English as can be now, you know what I mean? But in fairness to him, we moved over. He left the missus and kids back in England. He wanted to give it a go in Ireland. He did for the year that we won the Premier. Absolutely smashing lads. Vocal, everything you want in a keeper. He was a presence, he was vocal. He had the longest kick out off the ground I've ever seen in my life as a ping. I've never seen anyone to this day even can ping a ball as far as he can. And that save in Tolka Park just does it for me.
He inspired me to be a goalkeeper myself.
Look how that turned out.
27
small ball, hands, have you?
27 small hands.
Put your hands up against his, honest to God.
Small hands in the wood.
27 gone bald and retired, but however.
I presume I'm in it myself, am I?
His mom's not big enough.
Unfortunately, you have to play yourself, but depends if you're injured or not.
Yeah. Hell of the county and all that. But I'd have myself, Colin Hawkins, who we play beside. Yeah.
You're not very defensive.
No, no, it'd be either myself or Colin, but I'm playing myself, I'm more of a baller than Colin Hawkins won't mind me saying that now, but. Kevin Hunt probably the best footballer apart from Bonesy here. Kevin Hunt was the best footballer I ever played with. Absolute gentleman, great leader and all that crack. I'd have the man beside me because he just mentioned me and his team as well. Bonesy, just natural talent, the boy. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, Glenn Crow for goals all day. The best finisher I've ever played with, I've ever seen. Ruthless. That's my team.
And this is the next. Now we give you this one on the spot now. If you had to pick one footballer, dead or alive, no language barrier, to go for a point, who would it be?
Diego Maradona for me.
Yeah.
Right.
Frank McGivney.
You played with him?
Played with him.
And you were obviously good passing, were you?
Very.
Yeah.
Very. Made me settle down very quickly in Glasgow. A lot of people used to laugh at that. You're the right person for to settle down in Glasgow, wouldn't you? Me and Frank.
You're not the only person that said Maradona, to be fair. I think
another
he's
person with a cocaine habit.
we were all there.
Brilliant stuff. Lads, thank you very much.
Absolute pleasure.
We've been laughing ahead off here. That was absolutely brilliant. We're gonna move on to the draw of the game now on Friday. We've got 200 away tickets. It's the first away game back in France.
Fucking amount we took up at home.
Yeah.
The Bowes fans have to take over the home tickets and draw to put a password on top of the fucking home allocation. Yeah. So they're basically going around door to door telling people what the password is. Bowes don't get tickets.
It could be 50-50 in the ground, but look, come here. It should be a decent game of football. We're probably expecting the usual 11. Coop picked up a bit of a knock playing against Ballymena and friendly there, but hopefully he's all right to go. Stephen Mallon appears to be made of glass, but
he's gone again for another few weeks.
Yeah, supposedly. He's waiting on a scan. But we do have two new players in the team, Roland the Doyle and Kieran Cole, who sound like two lads you'd pick up in Football Manager after 20 years of managing Cardiff City. But they're being touted as pretty decent signings. What do you think, Jordo? Do you think we should get the win on Friday? We play like we usually do and we should get a win up there.
Yeah, I'm going to take a 1-0 victory up there. I think we're going to go into this game. We're going to have to start looking at picking up results in the league. Yeah. We've had our fun in the Cup. We've had our fun in Europe.
We've got three games in hand.
No, fucking one of the hands is worth three in the bush, I suppose. So it's all about getting the fucking points on the board. No use having them in hand if you don't get the... So we've got Drogheda and we have Finn Harps Monday, isn't it?
Yeah, and we've got a rescheduled game against Rovers to come up as well, which is away in Tallaght, which is going to be a tough one. So
you really need 9 points there, don't you, to get yourself back in some sort of race, don't you?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
We have to be 6 points ahead of Derry. We've got to keep a bit of a cushion going until the end of the season. What's your predictions for Friday, lads? What do you reckon?
1-0 Bowes for me.
1-0 Bowes for you. Macca?
It's a tough place to go, isn't it? So
yeah, it's a tight pitch.
It's a tight pitch.
You can't come on this podcast and fucking not give a Bowes.
That's not how it works.
No.
I remember my own days playing there. I wasn't the biggest fan of the place.
Pitch can be in bad nick, but sometimes when it's good, it's probably, you know, if it's tight and you're really crowds right on top of you, there's probably going to be 2,500 fans there, which is going to be very, very good.
Yeah, we've got 1-0 Bowes, yeah.
Well, listen, I've always been Bowers. I lived in Inchy Car most of my life growing up, and even the Pats fans going, go on, yeah, bleeding scumbag off to the north side. But the club was always a special place in my heart because of the success we had there and the friends that I met there. And, but I really think Drogheda was a hard place to go. Love to see Bowers winning it, but they had to up that game if they don't.
Absolutely, yeah. Brilliant stuff, lads. We've got a couple of shout-outs.
Yeah.
Macker, you have one here to start.
Yeah, everyone remembers Robbie Doyle that played for us. He played with me back in the
day. Robbie Doyle. Whatever it says now.
Zoolander, was it? Is that what we just called him? But now, Doyle's, we're still best mates to this day. And Doyle has a game coming up, a charity game for the Shauna Kavanagh Foundation. Yeah. Cystic Fibrosis. And there's a game coming up on October the 3rd out in Cavan Teely's grounds out in Stradbroke Road. And it's for the Shauna Kavanagh Foundation. So it'll be a Pat Devlin 11 against a Robbie Doyle 11. So knowing the two boys, they have football friends and they have celebrity friends and all. So you wouldn't know who'll be playing on the day, but it'll be a great day. Brilliant. 4 o'clock out in Cabin Teely's ground.
And we look forward to getting
that. I'll have a game half and half then, yeah. One for being a footballer and one for being a celebrity.
Have you got a shout out yourself, Paul?
Well, do you know what? I'm back in Vought now with the Celtic Legends, and we do a lot of travelling in Thailand, Philadelphia, all these places. And
they sound like piss ups, not
we had, no, we had
tourism.
We're meant to have a game in New York. Macker's mate was going to organise that, Dave Hall, and that was meant to be a shout out before the pandemic. But I'm actually doing a game in Dublin. We're just waiting for all this nonsense to die down, that we can have proper people back and organise a proper dinner in a hotel or something like that. And it's for the homeless. So it's the Celtic Legends against the Homeless Ireland team. And raise a few quid for the homeless.
So Bones, you could play for both on that one.
I'll play for both on that one.
And we usually don't give much coverage to the first division, but we kind of have something to say to a few lads.
Look, myself and Jay sat down. We've got massive news now coming off the back of this. But we sat down and we got a couple of messages off Cork City fans that listen to our podcast. And he said there's a bit of fucking bad taste from down in the first division against
us. We don't even talk about Cork City.
Yeah, the Cork City fan podcast. Now, we believe that fucking there's great League of Ireland podcasts out there. Alan Cawley's Call, League of Ireland Central, Between the Stripes at LOI Arena. And last week, we got a mention of the Cork City podcast. I believe it's called The Three Other Virgins.
And actually, they bleeped us out.
They bleeped out what they wanted to say is, the quote that from the podcast was, and it was about us, I saw those bleep up in Dublin, who have a podcast based on a League of Ireland club. All their fans retweet it. Fuck balls. It's the two lads who want to create bleep is the world. Them fellas drive me fucking spare. And it was based on the fact that nobody really listens to the podcast but what they were saying. Nobody seems to retweet it. We've got about 70 to 80 listeners in Cork. Probably fucking 78 more than those cunts have. Right? So they've come on. They've bad-mouthed with us and... Look, at the end of the day, it's a very Irish thing to be fucking jealous, but, you know.
Grudgers.
Big grudgers, yeah. And we're actually one of the Langer fucking, one of the bleeding swamp donkeys on the podcast. After he goes, fuck boys, you know, that sort of lark. Then he goes on to say, Bowes would want to start winning things. You know, football's about what happens on the pitch. Well, your team nearly went bankrupt and are bottom of the fourth division, trying to win things on the pitch.
I think
a stupid cunt.
I think they want to start worrying about how to run a football club there, never mind a fucking podcast.
These are just gobshites. It's got nothing else to be doing. You're usually trying to do something for your club, which is great. You're getting great guests on. From Macri.
Last week, we were in the top 50 overall Irish podcast ahead of second captains. We started the podcast, we were 2 places behind Joe Rogan in the top fucking 10 in Ireland.
We were number six
in the overall charts.
We don't even have mics.
There's just
we're sitting in a fucking garage drinking Polish fucking gear drink.
don't tell Stephen Kenny that when he asks.
We're gonna get a room in the Clarion with that.
We still have to pay for a selfie, which is a start
we have one more thing to say, and that's the elections coming up.
What's the big news?
Oh, sorry, the big news is, drum roll, we are doing a live show, hopefully towards the end of October. Our venue is to be confirmed, but we're looking towards the bank holiday weekend. We've been in touch with a couple of promoters. They've been in touch with us, yeah. They came to us, and so we're hopefully going to get a live show with hopefully 100 to 200 people involved.
And 4 or 5 lads up in the stools.
Absolutely,
Roddy will hopefully be one of them.
We'll be booking out that Clarion Hotel for the after party
We'll throw a few stories in there. That'd be good.
Paul Bourne wants to come on again, and I'll be delighted to have you.
No, I'll sit in the audience.
Oh, will you?
I'll be asked. asking the mucking question.
Don't worry. Would you fuck me out, Roddy?
Well, it's free drink if you come on, so.
Oh, is it? Oh, come on then.
So, look, the AGM is also coming up this week on Thursday. There's two positions that are really up for grabs. It's the membership one and...
The bar director.
Dave Rotwell is running for the membership. He gave me a phone call last week. He sort of wants me to join the subcommittee there. There is a bit of a historic mess there at the moment. He's going to go in and look to sort it out. The AGM is 7 o'clock. Make sure you tune in. Vote for Dave Rotwell.
Dave Rotwell, a little bald, angry man.
He'll get the job done. That's amazing.
He'll get the job done. The other person is Bod Kennedy, who's a good friend of mine.
Fintan Kennedy on the voting list.
He took the ball around Macker a few times. But look, Bodge has, he sorts it out with the gargle. He's got every contact in the drinks industry. He's done a fantastic work in the bar. He's a good mate of mine as well. So look, give Bodge the vote ahead of Major Von Coughlin of the Waffen SS. But that's brilliant, lads. So look, we just want to say thank you very much for coming in.
Absolute pleasure,
what,
lads.
What we do at the end of the game, right? Raise a glass.
Hello, Bob.
Come on, the fucker.
Come on, the fucker.
Come on, the boys. Cause we all follow boys wherever they play. We don't care if it's home or away. We had the boys and we're proud of our name. So we'll all bounce around and